of the heart flows the issues of life. And many of these issues stem from one's emotional, mental, and spiritual condition. Such issues may oppress, stifle, and even stagnate one from living a healthy and fulfilling life. So how does one progress past such issues and achieve a state of emotional, mental, and spiritual healing? There's help. So open your heart and prepare your mind. It's time for healing to take place in your life. You're in tuned to Talking with Dr. Toy, a holistic approach to emotional healing. And now, your host, licensed professional counselor, Dr. Toy Lisa Mitchell.
It's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do.
Well, good Sunday afternoon. You're in tune to another podcast of Talking with Dr. Toy. Comes your way every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I do hope you're doing okay today. As you know, my purpose is to provide a holistic approach to emotional healing. Therefore, my mission to provide a holistic and restorative therapeutic approach in addressing and resolving issues that adversely affect the emotional, psychological, spiritual, and physical well-being of individuals who desire to enhance their quality of life. And I want to say, you know, I always want to come with just, how are you doing? Are you taking care of yourself? And are we implementing aspects of self-care? So I definitely want to continue to make sure that you are utilizing aspects of self-care. And so my self-care check-in is, hey, how are you doing? And what are you doing for self-care? Hoping that you're really integrating this within your life. And this concept of community care, people committed to leveraging their privilege to be there for one another in various ways. And how did you show up for others? And how did you allow others to show up for you? And finally, this aspect of self-awareness, how are you showing up for yourself and connecting to aspects of your own values and beliefs, passions, aspirations, and your feelings and thoughts? How are you connecting with that, especially as we're still in the first month of this year, and it's definitely going by quickly. January is almost gone, and so we'll be heading into February. So it seems like the time is really moving fast. Well, today we've been kind of deviating from some of the topics that I had thought that I was going to start off the new year with, and we'll get to those eventually. But I've just been really pressed to really speak to topics that have been coming up and that have been emerging in ways, and that they've informed and impacted my life, and thought it would be really appropriate to speak to those within the broadcast. And so I'm hoping that you're connecting with those topics and would love to receive your feedback. Well, today is no different than something else has emerged in my own life that I am feeling pressed about to speak to. And here's the thing, it's happened in my life, but I do know that it's happening in the lives of others as well. Even as we've started off this new year, there's some of us that have started off in a place of grief and loss. And here's the thing, the acknowledgement of a new year brings to bear things that maybe were lingering in 2023, and how some of those things are, you know, we've carried those over into the new year. And some of that can mean that the lives of those that we connected with last year around this time, they're no longer here this year. Well, unfortunately, I've experienced the death of a friend that was sudden. And when you experience that type of loss and death that was sudden, is difficult to wrap your mind around it. It's difficult to come to terms with it. And to be honest, even as a therapist in this space where we talk and we minister to people about grief, and even not only as a therapist in this space, but also as a minister in this space where we have ministered to those who have experienced death and the death of loved ones. And we know with regards to what the scripture says that as believers that we don't grieve as those who have no hope, and we, and our hope is eternal, and that is beautiful, and that's reality. But yet and still, it doesn't take away the grieving that you experience, this grief and loss process, that and I think that's with reason why, you know, in scripture that it does speak to God being the Father of all comfort, because he knows that we will need to be comforted. And even as, you know, the Apostle Paul exclaimed, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? That yes, when knowing that we, those who believe in eternity and believe that there's life beyond this that we're living on this earth, I do believe that brings some solace to know that when we think about revelations and we think about that there will be a time when there will be no more pain, no more tears, that is hopeful. You know, and we await that hope. We await that. But as we are in the waiting room, there are things that we deal with on this side of heaven that the physical death of a loved one, where we no longer encounter their physical presence, it does leave a void. And it does leave questions. And some of what we encounter when we're grieving is that we're grieving not only the death of that person, their life, their physical life, but we're also grieving what could have been, right? We grieve the visions of connecting in tomorrow, connecting in future encounters. We envision of a future of what it would have been to have that person still with us. And I want to speak to this because I know in some settings, in some contexts, grief and mourning and bereavement, it's difficult. It's difficult, and because there seems to be this tension of where is our faith, and if we have faith that our loved one is in this eternal place, then we sometimes we think that there's a tension in us being sad, that there's a tension that we shouldn't grieve because there's this future hope and connection that there's an eternity. But I think within this space, when we examine and we look at the life of Jesus, whom many with this Christian faith seek to emulate and seek to ground our lives in, we see in the person of Jesus his humanity as well. And when faced with the death of Lazarus, and seeing the hurt and the grief in his siblings, Jesus wept. And we know that we have a Father who grieves as well. And so I'm in this space of grieving the death of this friend. And I'm in this space of struggle with, was it supposed to happen like this? What happened? Could I have done more? Should I have done more? It's a wrestling that we have. And to be transparent, it's a sadness. It's a heaviness. And as I navigate that, I want to acknowledge that I'm not the only one that's navigating that even in this new year. Some of you, before the new year just really got into gear, some of you are experiencing that too. The death of that loved one. And I don't know if it was sudden for you or if there's been a prolonged illness that has taken place. And you may be in this space of, was this new year supposed to start off like this? Right? Many of you have started off the new year of attending memorials, attending funerals, attending gatherings, and even being present and sitting with loved ones, because even maybe you've not experienced the grief and loss of a loved one, but maybe you are connected to a friend to who has, and you are in that space where you are providing support, and you're like, we're in a new year, and all these things that we move into the new year expecting, sometimes we're not expecting death this soon. And so as I ponder my process, as I ponder this, I am wanting to share my and being transparent with my authentic feelings and thoughts. And listen, heaven, and it's okay that, and because some of us, we try to figure it out. Well, let me figure out what's happening. And listen, it's okay if you haven't. It can be confusing. It can be befuddling. It can be shocking. It can be all of those things. And there's not an expectation that it should be this way or that way. Whatever this is for you, acknowledging that that is what it is. And as I experience this heaviness, sadness, I am also experiencing this reflective space too. Because death, when it happens, it can really put you in a space where you, if you're embracing it, it can put you in a space where you begin to be reflective and say, what is life for me? These existential questions that we have, the meaning of life. When I look at the trajectory of this friend, I'm like, why? I mean, what? We strive and we move in life of creating goals, accomplishing goals, and moving towards what we deem as success. And part of this helps you to maybe gets you in a space where you begin to pause to say, am I living the life that I was destined and purposed to live? Because when you experience a death that's sudden, you begin to connect with this aspect of the brevity of life and how life seems so short. And although you may seem to pack in a lot of things in life, there's a brevity to life. Even scriptures speak to this. When we look at James chapter 4, 12 and 15, it says this. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. And I love this translation. You are a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You are a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I want to stay here. I want to stay here because the brevity of life is such a reality in this world that we live. And as we are faced with the inevitability of death, it will come. And as we process ways to navigate this and ways to include this in our living, how do you grapple with "you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes"? How do we grapple with life and family members and friends, that we are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes? It brings to mind this aspect of when I talked about previously value-led living. It brings about this sense of, am I living the life that I'm destined to live and that God has envisioned and purposed for me to live? Am I showing up in the lives of others in a way that is authentic and meaningful for not only them, but also for me? It brings to mind these questions. And are we cultivating those things that are essential and those things that are of value, those things that are lasting? You know, sometimes even when we've attended funerals, we hear people say that funerals are not for those who have died, but funerals are for those who are living. And that type of service is indicates the life that someone lived. How well did they live? And then I pose that question to the living. How well are we living? You know, in this space, and when I've been pondering about this, the depth of this beautiful soul, this beautiful friend, I begin to reflect on my interactions with this person. I begin to reflect on areas of, did I miss something? Was I too caught up in all that I was going through and the striving and this and this to miss the nuggets? And maybe, you know, the answer to that question, maybe yes, in some degree, yes. And that's something that I'm like, man, I'm sorry for. It's something that we definitely connect to our own humanity. Not that I beat myself up over it, but I acknowledge it. And this is an acknowledgement of my mere humanity, that sometimes in our humanity, we miss it. But it's also this acknowledgement too, to say, what lessons do I glean from this? How do I move and navigate in this so that I am connecting with those that still yet live? And that may be the overarching question and the way in which we look and the lens in which we see our life and the ways in which we are living that with others. And honestly, the way in which we are living that within ourselves. I think it harkens back to what I have expressed previously when we have talked about this notion of how are we showing up in the lives of others, and how are we allowing others to show up for us. Are we embracing the love that we can have in relationships? Are we running away from it because of the fear of being disappointed? Sometimes we can live lives that are closed off, yes, because of trauma, and we may be preventing the, and here's what I want to say. We may, because love with regards to our mere humanity, it is flawed. Yeah. It's flawed at best. And because that love is flawed, some of us may be apprehensive and closed off to opening ourselves up to it because it is flawed, because it's coming from flawed individuals. But here's the key. If we cease to open ourselves up to love, even though it's flawed, we may be keeping ourselves from experiencing the good qualities of love. Because let's be honest, love can be painful too. Yeah. Because in our humanity, we miss opportunities. In our humanity, we may miss connections and our own issues may get in the way. And sometimes what happens is that we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, you know what? I'm just closing myself off to it all. But when we do that, are we giving ourselves an opportunity to live and to experience the fulfillment of life? I love that there were people who loved Jesus, who loved him, not just for what he did, but who loved him. And I think Jesus, even in his perfect humanity, and his divinity, that's love is what he experienced. And he experienced the flawed humanity as well. He experienced the betrayal. He experienced abandonment, desertment. He experienced that too. But if he had closed himself off because of the pain of love, may not experience the gift of love. The gift of love, the gift that not only of giving love, but the gift of receiving love. And when we are in these spaces of grief and loss, we come to that heart moment of, did I love? Did I love? Did I receive love from this person? And here's the thing, that part lives on. That part remains. The love remains. And are we in spaces where we nurture, where we cultivate that? And yes, listen, I want to say this, that you take a risk loving, but in death, the risk was so worth it because life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So because life appears for a little while, that which remains stands and stays with us. That helps us to experience grief. And the part of love and the pain of grief that invites the comfort and the perfect love of God. It invites God into that space. It invites God into that space. It is with reason that Jesus said that God had anointed him and sent him to heal the brokenhearted. And yes, there's brokenness when we experience the death of loved ones, but there is healing as well. It's a process. I am forever beholden to the memories and to the life of my dear beloved friend. I will miss my friend. I will miss my friend's presence in this physical world. But I will hold on to the love, to the moments that were shared, the realness that was shared. And that to me is life. And my hope for you is that as you navigate this valley, the valley of death, that you will experience God's presence, that you will experience God's holding, keeping you, sustaining you in these moments. And even in a new year, part of what I'm reflecting on is not only the process of grief, but the lessons too that will be ever evolving. The lessons of connection, the lessons of experiencing and opening yourself up to love and the risk of love, the lessons of allowing the pain of love into, because therein lies the fullness of love, and also the lessons of living life as it is a vapor living. And that may mean something different to you, but really connecting to what that means. What does living mean for you? I have my own thoughts because of my own life. Living, loving, also laughing. Yeah. There's enough seriousness taking place in life. And I can say, with this person, we laughed. And it feels good to share those moments and to remember those moments and cultivating those moments in your life. So I would say live, love, laugh. And then I would say to connect. Try to connect in real ways. Now, listen, sometimes that in real ways, that may not be where a person may be at that point. But if there are friendships and relationships where you can cultivate that authenticity and realness. And what I mean by that is really checking on them. Sometimes we can be consumed with life, our humanity, right? Our humanity shows up and we're like, I can only deal with what I can deal with, and that's okay. We have those moments. That's why it's so essential to take care of yourself. Really, really it is. That's where that self-care comes in, because when you're not taking care of yourself, you can barely hold space for what you're doing, which may in some ways limit your capacity to even be present for someone else when you're not present for yourself. And I think it's really important that we do that. But as you are living this life and you're connecting and being present with self, cultivating the capacity to really check in on those that you love and really, really go beyond just the surface and just really ask, how are you really doing? And listen, it's not so much about their response, because sometimes we kind of try to, you know, foreshadow what they will say. Well, they won't let me in, or this and this. But it's really about giving the opportunity, because sometimes that's what people just want. Is there someone who really cares enough to say, are you really okay? How is everything? You cannot imagine how far that can go when a person perceives that they are cared for and they are loved. And just having the capacity to be present and do that is a gift. It's truly a gift. So, in concluding, this was really just a reflective podcast for me, and I'm hoping that something was said that stirred within you, that connected with you as I journey through this grief and loss. It's not a journey that I've not been in before. But when these moments come, sitting in those moments and not running away from them, I think can be gifts within themselves. I will miss my friend. I will miss my friend. But I hope that as I navigate my own journey, that you navigate yours and connect with what that may mean for you. Living, love, laughing, connecting. That's all I have time for today. Remember, relentlessly and intentionally pursue authentic and genuine relationships vertically with God, horizontally with others, and inwardly with yourself. Maintain and sustain a keen sense of awareness and ongoing discovery about self as well as others. Take good care of you. Take good care of you. And engage in things that are helpful for your mind, body, soul, and spirit. And remember, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Let's continue to talk about it and continue our journey towards emotional healing. Until next time, bye-bye. So I need
You've been in tuned to Talking with Dr. Toy, providing a holistic approach to emotional healing with your host, licensed professional counselor, Dr. Toy Lisa Mitchell. Please connect with me at talkingwithdrtoy.com or Facebook at Talking with Dr. Toy or email talkingwithdrtoy@gmail.com. I would love to hear your story and hear your heart regarding the issues of life you may be experiencing. Remember, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Let's continue to talk about it. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening, and please join me next week for Talking with Dr. Toy.